Sex and happiness both enrich our lives, yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness. You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to another episode of Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And every single week that I broadcast to you, I talk to you about sex and happiness and about why it's so important and how they go hand in hand and how it's really important that that shows up on the planet. Like, there's a lot of sex, but let's face it, there's still sex slavery, which I did a show on. There's still people who don't know their boundaries and consent, which I've done shows on. There's all kinds of things going on when we talk about sex, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the sex that's loving, that's wonderful, that's either self-generated or that's generated with a partner that fills you up, makes you feel renewed, makes you feel restored, makes you feel transformed. That's the kind of sex I'm usually talking about on the show, and that's the kind I want you to have, and I believe you need to have to be happy. So today's not going to be any exception. I'm going to speak to somebody who I'll introduce in 1 second, who's going to be talking about his field, but we're going to, of course, relate it to sex and happiness. So let me tell you about him. His name is Charlie Wilson, and he's a sustainable community builder and wild man in training. Charlie's dedicated to supporting the collective re-remembering of village and together decolonizing our lands, peoples, and hearts. So, Charlie, welcome to Sex and Happiness.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. In that introduction, I right away have a few questions, if you don't mind.
Not at all.
So, you're a sustainable community builder. So tell us what that means, just in case some people don't know what that means.
Sure. It's essentially looking at the old human structures of community and village and how to bring those to life in the urban environment, where in our culture today, we're so used to the ability to ghost or slip away to our one bedroom apartment and disappear into ourselves. So what does it mean to have a close network of support around you who will hold you accountable, check in on you, and for you to do the same with them?
Awesome. Thank you for explaining that. So I feel really good by your standards and definition. I have two such communities, actually almost three, that hold me accountable and that I participate in. And that feels really good.
Great.
Yeah, I do. I have my Tantra tribe, which is known as ISTA, International School of Temple Arts. I have my Immortality Tribe, which is a group of people here in Scottsdale and Phoenix, Arizona, which is why I moved here, to be part of a group of people that doesn't want to die. So we hold each other accountable to live.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and then I have like an entrepreneurs group here too, which is getting to be that close. So, yay, I'm happy about that. And then you say in your bio, you're a wild man in training. And you know, I can't let that slip. So tell me about your wildness and what is that? And because that's really what I want to talk about today. You have something you called rewilding the untamed masculine. All right, so you got a lot of things going on there. I can hear them. So I need to tell you to stop moving around or
sure thing.
Stop moving papers. So what is rewilding the untamed masculine, and what does you being a wild man in training mean?
Well, rewilding essentially is looking at the world as though we are domesticated Homo sapiens. We have a few wild progenitors still living today.
Uh-huh.
So what does it mean to break from the system and start to live a life free in your mind, body, and your spirit? first step would be to recognize that you don't go from domesticated to wild instantly. You have to go through your status of being feral, finding yourself before you can reach that. And when I say wild, it's not the same as being a savage man. A savage man is one that inflicts pain, abuses women. It's where a lot of men currently are, yes. Where they're steeped in hypermasculinity.
Yes.
And whereas a wild man has the willingness to examine where he's hurt. And essentially is the highest expression of masculinity.
Wow.
So a real good place to start, mm-hmm. Is just to take an active understanding that you are or have been colonized, and you're thus responding to life's circumstances in ways that are limited, destructive, and externally controlled. It's really through that, it's the way that we'll kind of be positioned to take actions that reflect a rejection of the programming of self-hate with which we've indoctrinated in this mm-hmm. culture.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm moved. I mean, I just have to say I'm noticeably in myself moved by what you're saying. So I get it. I understand the colonization that's taken place or the domestication. I've often said that the women that I know, they complain a lot about certain things about men, but I think to myself, you don't want a man to be a lap dog. You don't want a domesticated dog that sleeps in the bed with you. You want like a wild beast. You want somebody who like takes you and ravishes you and feels good about himself and, you know, knows that he's got this and that, and also that he's vulnerable. So it's both and what you said. It's kind of like not wanting the domestication and yet not knowing how to stop like sideways wanting it, being so colonized about it, complaining when a man doesn't like follow a woman's directions or whatever. Because women really don't desire that. They really want a man who feels his manhood and who has his balls, let's just put it like that.
Yeah.
And men want their balls, you know? Men want
yes.
that. Men, I mean, I just did, I don't know if it was a show or what, somebody was interviewing me about feminism. Oh, I just did a television show in Canada. And they were interviewing me about feminism. And I said, yeah, I know. I used to be a card-carrying, bra-burning, take-back-the-streets-marching woman. And I didn't know that 3 to 4 decades from then, the effect that that would have had on men, because we didn't quite get it right. Like, we just wanted equal pay and to walk down the streets safely, but we didn't know that part of what we were doing was going to emasculate men. And we don't know how. And then I look at all these women and they go, where are the men? And there don't seem to be too many. Like what you're saying, like there don't seem to be too many who made it through with their balls intact.
I definitely agree. I look at the condition in the masculine right now, and as I said before, it's either the hyper masculinity or what I call the soft man, the one that will pander, listen to the issues of the feminine, and take it all on themselves. The ghosts and the trauma of the patriarchal system, mm-hmm. and take that on as though it were their individual fault, and say, yes, you're hurt, you're right, what can I do for you, what can I do to make this better, rather than standing in their own power.
Yeah, and that's a real problem. I call those Alan Alda men. I'm sorry, Alan, but it's a sad state of affairs, because we have like very feminized men, or we have men when you say hypermasculine, is that what you said? Hypermasculine?
Yes, that's hypermasculinity.
So what was that? What would that be like? Arnold Schwarzenegger? I mean, I just need an example of that. Like, someone we might recognize who would be a hypermasculine, example.
Arnold, that's a great example. Sylvester Stallone.
Mm.
you remember Bruce Willis, the tough man that listens to no one, and I'll say tough rather than strong. The one that, yeah, listens to no one, takes no excuses, and it doesn't matter who they hurt to get what they want.
Yeah. Okay. I got it. So, yeah, that's not, I mean, those two might be polar opposites. I don't even know if they are, but that's not, neither of those on a seesaw, or on a scale from 0 to 10 or whatever are desirable as far as I'm concerned. And I don't see that either of those are the answer for men. And I guess.
I agree.
Yeah, you don't either. Obviously you don't. So, rewilding the untamed masculine is quite a task. What does that require?
It's a phenomenal task, really.
Yeah.
I think a big part of it is reconnecting in with the masculine around you to receive mirrors and be held accountable. I'm currently a part of a very dedicated men's group where we meet weekly for about 3 hours to talk about the issues taking place in our lives, tapping in somatically to where the emotions are living within us, and doing accountability pieces so that we can be held in integrity. I think that the best way to support the feminine is solidarity amongst men, to let each other know that their actions are not acceptable. Basically, there's this strong, dark feminine energy. And I don't mean dark as in evil, but a strong power that's been rising for decades, as you said. And it's that Kali energy. And they're waiting for this masculine, the Kala energy, to turn up and meet them.
You got that right. I mean, I am her.
Yeah.
I know her really well. The first time I ever heard of Kali, I said, that's me. And I mean, that was in the 70s. And now I have the nickname Pumbaa Gira. She's the dark goddess of Afro-Brazilian creation. And she's like, you know, the goddess of sex and pleasure and red lipstick and pearls and prostitutes and, you know, everything. Women of the night and women who enjoy their sensuality and their sexuality. And, you know, some people gave me that name. They said I was even more like her than Kali. So, yeah, like, who's going to meet us?
Yeah.
When are they coming? They're not riding in on a white horse. I know that.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so great. You know, I have one thing to say, then we have to go to break. I used to run a women's group. I mean, years ago, I ran women's groups and men's groups in the 70s and the early 80s. And the women in my women's group, I used to make them dance to the Walt Disney song, Someday My Prince Will Come. And then at the end, they had to pick a female partner, like they had to partner up with somebody in the women's group and dance the waltz to Someday My Prince Will Come. And then they had to let it go in an emotional release burst. Like they had
powerful.
Yeah, they had to let go of that Prince Charming riding in on the white horse and let men be who they are. This just reminded me of that. Anyway, this is great stuff. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to delve deeper into this rewilding the masculine and men's solidarity. I love the whole idea of this, and I want to talk more about your men's group and other stuff that you do. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, and I'm interviewing Charlie Wilson. And Charlie, he focuses on sustainable community and building sustainable communities, and then being in wild man training, like wild man, bring men coming back to their masculinity, both their vulnerability, their accountability, and their purpose. And so that's what we're talking about today, and I couldn't be happier than interviewing someone who's into this. So stay tuned, we're coming right back.
My question for people right now is if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much needed option for women. Zestra is safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Laurie Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Laurie Handlers. Only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
I want to talk to you about the craziest and most inventive sex toy or sex enhancement that I've come upon in a long time. It's called Love Rider, L-U-V-R-Y-D-R. That's L-U-V-R-Y-D-R, Love Rider. So I know the couple that invented it. They never intended to invent it. They stumbled upon it. And isn't that how most things go in life? The subtitle to Love Rider is Grab the Bar and Ride Your Lover Wild. And I want to tell you that I've had multiple experiences with Love Rider. I've taken it all around the world. And I've had lovers experience it. I've given it to them overnight and told them to come back and tell me their experience with it. And every one of them comes back with a raving report. It's a harness that the person receiving puts around their shoulders, either forwards or backwards, whatever. It depends on what position you want to use the Love Rider in. And the person who's giving, the penetrator, takes the handlebar like they're riding a horse, and they lean back and they get amazing angles of penetration from using this device. It's hard to describe, but I want to encourage you to go there and look it up. Listen, my lover gave it a 5.5 stars out of 5. That's all I got to say. So go to loverider.com and look for this beautiful invention. And you can use my name if you call them, or you can use my code Butterfly Workshops, letting them know that you heard about Love Rider through me. That's loverider.com, L-U-V-R-Y-D-R.
We're back with Sex and Happiness, and again, I'm Laurie Handlers. I'm interviewing Charlie Wilson, and we just got to some things in the first segment about men and what's happening with men. And so, Charlie, how long have you been up to this? Like, when did you go get the aha and you knew
uh-oh, I've been totally co-opted here. Almost every man I know has been co-opted. When did you get the awareness?
I think it was 2 years ago. My partner, she turned me onto a book called Iron John by Robert Bly.
Yes.
That I can't recommend more to any male-identifying, male-bodied, grew up with a male experience, or even for feminine listeners. It's a beautiful telling of an old fairy tale called Iron John, and the author simplifies it and breaks it down into modern context, and you can really see exactly where you've been shaped.
Yeah, got it. Yes, I know the book well, and another one that he co-wrote with a woman, the something, it's a story about a woman, but they call her in the story a king.
Mm.
And I can't remember, but it also made a tremendous impact on me. It had a tremendous moving of the way I saw things. Robert Bly, very brilliant. So okay,
yeah, definitely.
So 2 years ago. So I'm thankful to your partner. She made a huge,
I am too.
She made a huge contribution to you, and then you decided to take that and bring that to other men. I take it.
Yeah, it was about that time that I recognized the plight that I was currently in was being completely surrounded by the feminine. Once I had a lot of guy friends in high school, and once that ended, society told me I needed to go out and sleep with all the women I could, that I needed to, that was how I was going to be successful and popular. So I started dedicating myself to learning how to speak to women, seduce them, and be around them. And all the men in my life started to look like competition. And I'd go out, I'd get six numbers on a weekend. Two of them I'd never hear from. Two of them wouldn't really work out. But two of them were really great people, and we really connected, but it was on a friendship level. So there, I've just gained two new friends. And you keep that cycle on repeat. And after a few years, you're surrounded by women, and you don't feel comfortable around men because they're the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's quite a strategy.
Yeah.
Wow. So then you met your current lover, your partner, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're still with the person who turned you on to Iron John.
I am, and we are very happily in love, I'm proud to say.
Yeah, I looked on your Facebook page when Sprout introduced us, and I saw that you were like happily in relationship. So that mm-hmm. felt good. That felt good to see. So good for her. So, all right. So things changed, but they must have changed before meeting her or not? Like they changed during the time that you two have known each other?
Yeah, they rapidly accelerated in the time we've been together. I'd say it's a year before I met her that I really started to make this shift away from the dominant paradigm into this new emerging story.
Mm-hmm.
I essentially was coming out of a terrible, abusive relationship with a woman where I was that soft man. I accepted anything that was done to me because I didn't want to fail to say, oh, I couldn't make this relationship work. And two, I was taking on the transgressions of the whole culture into myself. So I came out of that completely broken in my own catalepsis and landed in a communal house with a beautiful soul named Simon, and he introduced me to the burner community, he introduced uh-huh. me to LSD, and that was the real shifting where I recognized that I was alone. So eventually making my way to Burning Man and having a deep awakening there in the person that I am inside.
Wow, what a nice story. Thank you, Simon.
And, yes.
And is Simon in Canada?
He was. He's currently living in Wellington, New Zealand, doing the same type of thing I'm doing here with men's work and community building.
Beautiful. Really beautiful. So now let's talk about the men's work a little bit. That was a beautiful segue. So you're doing a men's group. Can anyone join at any time, or does it have a beginning, middle, and an end? And do you start them up? And are you writing a book? And, you know, all that stuff. Like, how does your men's group work?
So this men's group, I've been a part of a few where it's been open invitation. Anyone can come and join. But there seems to be a certain amount of... There's not as much safety in the open invitation, and you're unsure of who's going to be there, who's going to know your story. So in this group, which we've self-titled Gathering of Our Bones, we have currently there's four of us. It's fixed membership, although we're thinking of bringing on a fifth, but we really identified that 4 to 6 members was about what a call it like a fellowship could handle. So we meet weekly on Thursday nights for about 3 hours. Everyone has to be there or the meeting doesn't take place.
Got it.
We'll shift it to another night where we can all be present. So we're all up to date on each other's stories and how to best support each other. We have a rotating leadership. So weekly, someone is in charge of the facilitation, bringing the smudge kit, organizing the agenda for the evening, and time management, which is a huge problem for us because we're all emotional creatures that love to hear ourselves talk.
Correct. I understand. Having led many groups in my life, I do understand that. Especially the closer you get and the more vulnerability you show each other, the more you just want to hear each other out. I totally understand that. Well, it sounds wonderful. And then do you are you developing programs on the side, or is there I'm just going with my creativity now, or will the 4 to 6 then go out and start up other groups? I mean, do you have the intention to grow?
Yes, that's a great question. We do have the intention to seed other groups around us. Mm-hmm. Part of our mandate is both community service to those in need and as well reaching out to other men so that we don't become a self-contained pod that feel great about ourselves and don't make a difference. So we've been tracking and recording every shift we've made, what works, what doesn't. And we're currently in talks with other men to seed men's groups. And so part of what we do is every 3 months we do a weekend away. And our deep desire is to have enough pods going that we could do a semi-annual gathering.
Wow. That is just wonderful, really wonderful. Now, there are some men, you know, on the planet who are doing some things. There's the Mankind Project. I don't know if you know about that. And there's a lot of the leaders of the Mankind Project have done my classes, my Tantra classes. That's how I know them. And then there's also David Harshada Wagner, who does a major men's thing, too. And, you know, Robert Bly, you mentioned. Do you do readings? I mean, might you read other... Oh, Destin Garrick also is doing men's stuff right now. So I wonder if you read any of those people's stuff, or really it's self-directed, like... or is Iron Man required reading, or like that?
Yeah, we are definitely aware of the Mankind Project. We've gone and sat in on an iGroup, which is one of their weekly or biweekly meetings. One of our members, Maddie, he was one of the original men in Canada that went down to the States to get the Mankind Project training and bring it up to Canada.
Oh,
so a lot of our processes on integrity and accountability are... You can see they're quite closely modeled after the Mankind Project, mainly focusing. Mankind Project goes through the Jungian four archetypes of wizard, king, warrior and magician. Mm-hmm. And I'd say we sit really in the warrior model of accountability and integrity. And we do readings and bring new information to the group. That's a part of our weekly thing, is the facilitator brings new information to share with the group. So we do a collective learning. And there, I should also mention, there's another seemingly a really great man in Finland named Ivan Skellum, and he's doing a program called Reclaim Your Inner Throne, which is a 3-month online journey of initiation for men.
Wow, fabulous. Well, I have in mind, just so you know, I have in mind to start an academy for men to learn how to actually make love to women.
So, wow, so needed.
So I have a man that has learned a lot on his own, has learned a lot from me in terms of sex magic and other things that I do, and he's probably going to bring it to bear, but I'll be, you know, consulting with him. So as you're going, moving around and you're seeding groups and getting to meet people and stuff like that, in lickety-split, like really soon, I'm going to have some kind of a program available that I might just be an advisor to, but will have something to do with the training of men to actually, like, make love to women the way they want to make love to women, and the way women need to be made love to, not just, you know, trying and getting it wrong, or having women pretend that they love what's going on. I mean, like, actually the communication of it. So, so I'd love to connect with you on that.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, that's awesome. Very exciting. Well, let's shift topics for a second, because I know that you have other interests, and I know that you have a major interest in love and partnership and the power of being witnessed. And so what wisdom can you share along those lines, since this is sex and happiness, you know?
Yeah. Thanks for asking. I would definitely... I'll preface this with saying that I'm not advocating any one particular lifestyle. I'm in a non-monogamous partnership with my partner Maya, and she actually lives with her other partner. But we still have a very beautiful, loving, supporting partnership. So I think with this, it's the key is to love without fear. It's to love in your own way, free of the cultural biases that will shape us. And in part of that is, when I say the power of being witnessed, is that love, it's in itself, is too big for two people to hold. It is a massive, powerful energy that drives the universe, and it's not okay to ask two people to keep that contained to themselves, to try and solve everything by themselves, to feel alone in their own workings within their partnership. So the power of being witnessed is, as I said, with the men's group and other things, it's having people hold you accountable to say when you're projecting, or when you're just flat out being mean, and even to tell you when this partnership has run its course and it served both of you and it's time to transition away.
Really great. So I just want to let you know that in my immortality community, although most of the couples in that community, of which I am not part of one, but most of the couples in the community are monogamous. However, it's always recommended that they live with one or more other adult individuals. Mm-hmm. So that they don't surround themselves by this moat. And then it's like how couples do, it's us against them. You know, it's like us against the world. We are going to make it. So instead of being that way, they always encourage people who are in relationship to live with other adults who can intervene with them when they're just so wacky, or they're so lost in story about one or the other, that there's another couple human beings around who are adult enough to say, whoa, cut it out. You know, you two are, this isn't, you know, we see you objectively, and this,
yes,
and this is not so. Whatever it is, whatever story you're telling right in this moment is not the truth. So we do have that. So it's interesting that you would say that, even though I would call most of the relationships in my immortal community monogamous, it's different in that they live with, in their homes, with other adults. And so they may not be relating to them sexually, but they are relating to them emotionally.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah, it's very cool. I think it's cool. It just gives, people can't see. That's why we can't see the back of our head. We need other people.
Yeah. That's the inherent nature of blind spots. You can't see your own.
Exactly. Exactly. So you need other people who are willing to risk being disliked or disagreed with or fought with or whatever, resisted, to get the truth of your blind spot to you, who, you know, you, whoever you are. So it's great.
Definitely.
Great, Charlie. All right, well, we're going to take another break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about something that you call twin flame magic and something having to do with shamanism, because that's one of my hot topics these days. So I want to know where you're coming from with that. So if you just tuned in again, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. Hopefully you are sexy and happy and getting happier and sexier as a result of this show each week. And today you are joining me and Charlie Wilson, and we're talking about a lot of stuff that people need to look at. We're talking about men needing to look at themselves and have masculine presence in their life and be held accountable for their purpose, and that's what Charlie's really into. So we're coming right back. Stay tuned. As a sex and happiness coach, I understand that increased sexual participation intensifies sexual responsiveness and desire, as well as overall health and well-being. My experience with a Sibian has personally increased my sexual response, and I can now train women to use this machine to have peak orgasms as often as possible. I strongly believe this will add to their health and well-being, whether they have a partner or not. The beauty and the miracle of the human body is that it adapts and changes much more rapidly than people change their beliefs or their opinions. The Sibian can make any woman's body more resilient with each peak orgasm. Sibian is an amazing experience, often described as the Lamborghini of sex toys. If you're a woman and you can get yourself to look at Sibian, you should do so. It won't take away from your partner. It will only add. Trust me on this. I love my Sibian. Go to Sibian.com. That's Sibian.com. Or call 1-800-253-6135. That's 800-253-6135. And say Laurie Handler has told you about Sibian. And by the way, if you do have a partner, ask about Venus for Men. That's Venus, V-E-N-U-S, for Men.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Laurie talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Laurie's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Laurie is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Laurie sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn CD by Laurie Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
This is Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and I'm talking with Charlie Wilson, who is a self-proclaimed wild man in training. I love that. I just love the whole notion of that. And he's fighting with the what he calls the colonization of us and our lands and our hearts. And he's doing that through building sustainable community. He went through his own changes a few years ago, not terribly long ago. He's new at this, but he's dedicated. And I get that he has the stick-to-itiveness to become a leader in this. So, Charlie, it's awesome to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for the beautiful compliments.
You're welcome. I mean, it's clear. Like, we're talking and you're not, you know, I'm asking you things we didn't plan on and you're just you're articulate as can be about it. So, obviously, you've given it a lot of thought and you're committed to it. It comes out of you, you know.
Well, thank you. Those words definitely touch my heart.
That's great. So talk to me about this thing you call twin flame magic, shamanism and the land. Like what it, I mean, I've heard of twin souls and I've heard of twin flame and I kind of write it off as woo woo. I write a lot of things off as woo woo. So, even though I'm a tantra teacher and even though I have shamanism, I'm just not that woo of a person. I'm very, I'm very, very grounded. I take no BS and I don't give any. So, when you talk about twin flame magic, like what is that?
Well, I'll start by saying that I definitely agree with you on the need to be grounded and skepticalness of the woo-woo side. I see a lot of the love and light spiritual bypass taking place.
Yeah.
And honestly, about a year and a half ago, I would say I didn't even believe energy existed. So I've changed a lot.
Okay, good. I get where you're coming from.
So the twin flame concept is that you have a resonating soul that you're partnered with. And I think this ties into the rewilding of men, that to step into your full power, you need the blessing of the feminine and the support. So in searching for this twin flame, I found it, I believe, in Maya. We've had a lot of past life rememberings. And together, it's not about just shamanism, but it's about living a shamanic life from an animist viewpoint mm-hmm. that steps away from the story of separation and into one of interbeing. And how to start to view yourself is not necessarily where you're from. My ancestors are from the British Isles and Northwestern Europe, but where you're of. So I am of Vancouver Island, Canada. I was born here. I spent most of my life here, and I have a deep connection with the land. And shifting the viewpoint from, I would say, from Mother Earth, because people seem to really dislike their mothers, and shifting into Lover Earth. And how can you love this place that you're from? So through, I'd say every 6 months, my partner and I go to one of the Gulf Islands. We have my family has a one bedroom cabin, and we'll enter into a ritual space together where there's no technology. It's about ourselves and the earth. So we'll spend the day making our way through the old growth and the forest, collecting items that call to us to build an altar to which we can pour our love into. And part of that was making love in the forest under the cedar trees and really essentially having a threesome with the earth and allowing it to enter into us and build that partnership. And since beginning this, we've actually found that, oddly enough, when we reach a point of climax, we feel it's a gift from the earth that we actually begin to produce or siphon DMT. And our longest experience was an hour and 45 minutes of just laying there in a DMT journey after sex.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah, and shocking.
So are you deliberately, I mean, when I speak of sex magic, for example, I teach people, my sex magic doesn't take place in intercourse. It does, but that's not the way I teach it. I teach men to pray at the body of the woman, like the body of the woman is the altar of the temple. Hmm. But beforehand, they set individual intentions or things they want to create, and then they set a partnered intention. And then if we're together in a group, like I'm teaching the class, and let's say there's four or six couples, then I have everyone set a group intention also, like some aspect of world peace or what have you. So would you say that you and your partner make an intention in advance before you would make love on the land? Or would you allow the land's intentions to come through you? That's how it seems. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, we would definitely allow the land's intentions to come through us during the day. And when we enter into ritual space at night after building that altar, we will say both our intentions for our own personal journeys in the evening and as well for our intentioning of a deepening of partnership. We'll carve and consecrate some candles, which will act as our guiding point on the journey through the evening. And in a throwback to childhood, we will do a small blood bonding of just pricking our thumbs and allowing the other to just suck the drops that come out, just for a deeper connection of bringing each other within ourselves.
Wow. I remember that ritual.
Yeah.
Now I just do pinky promises.
Yes, yes.
But I remember cutting my finger and making my finger, you know, be bonded with my best friend or what have you. So.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. So how did you, there's like a pregnant question. I'm following everything you're doing so far and I'm loving it. And then I have this pending question. Your lover lives with another person, a different partner, and you're in an open relating. And they're in an open relating. How did you get over competitive with this other person? I'm not assuming it's a man. But how did you get over feeling competitive with this person and feeling like, oh my God, when she goes home to a home that isn't a home with me. How did you conquer that, Charlie? That's like the $64 million question.
Yeah. When I entered into a partnership with Maya, they had already been together for 2.5 years and living together for a year and a half, and as well like co-raising Maya's daughter Chloe. So I guess I already stepped into an established partnership, so there was already kind of like the inherent understanding that this was her core partner and nesting partner.
Mm-hmm.
But for, I would say, the first year, Ian and I definitely did not get along. We very much othered each other in not knowing each other's stories, not knowing how to relate to each other, and not being able to communicate in the same language. I would describe Ian as left-brained and myself as right-brained. So there was a lot of miscommunication, and unfortunately putting Maya in the middle between us, asking for her to translate rather than going to each other and talking about it. But it was, it's been an interesting journey, and I'd say a real key to overcoming the competitiveness is cultivating compersion, which compersion is finding joy in another's joy.
So well put. And now I'm assuming, you didn't actually say it, but I'm assuming that you and Ian have some kind of a relating.
Yes, we are definitely on a lot better terms. We haven't spent like real significant private time together, but the three of us, and as well within our community here, have spent time and getting to know each other. Ian and Maya put on a workshop called Love Without Fear, which I've attended a couple times, and really gotten to know each other a lot better and see each other for the powerful leaders that we are and can be.
That's very awesome. Thank you for Thanks for handling that tough question. You know, it's right there. It's pregnant. It's like the elephant in the room. How the hell are you doing this? So it's awesome what you're doing. I really appreciate you, and thank you for doing it. I really thank you for doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's a journey for not just us, but for everyone, really being scholars of love and how can we make it work.
Beautiful. Well, Charlie, our time is up. I really want to thank you for being my guest today. How can people get in touch with you if they want more information about rewilding and wild men in training? What's the best way for them to reach you?
The best way, they can link up to my new website, very new, as in 2 days ago, because I was coming on here and I knew this question would be asked.
Good for you, smart man.
It's whoiscrw.com.
Whoiscrw.com, okay.
Yeah, so right now that will link people up to my Medium account, and they can reach me through there, or if it's appropriate, I don't mind giving my email.
Oh, no, you can give your email. That's fine.
Sure, yeah. It's charlie.r.wilson@gmail.com, and feel free to reach out to me for questions about the untamed masculine, rewilding, relationship, love and partnership, whatever, or just general, how's it going? I'm very open to expanding my mind and network through conversation with others.
All right, good. I'm going to spell your name because Charlie is spelled in different ways sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it's Charlie, which I'm going to say the normal way, charlie.r.wilson, W-I-L-S-O-N, @gmail.com. Charlie, thank you. Thanks for taking the time today, and thanks for your thoughtfulness and really the work that you're doing. Like, when someone's doing the work, all I can say is respect. When you're doing the personal work that it takes to get where you're going and to take a step ahead of anybody that you're telling about it, it takes something to do that. It takes real commitment. So thank you for doing it.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. It really, truly touches me, and I'll take those words with me as I travel through the world, and it's been a real honor and pleasure to be on speaking with you.
Thanks, Charlie. So everybody, I want to tell you to tune in next time when I'm going to be speaking with Om Rupani. And Om's been on my show before. We talked about, one time he was on the show, and we talked about longing for Osho. That was a long time ago. Then I had him on the show, and we talked about BDSM. And people like wanting to play on the dark side, but not knowing what to do that safely. And, you know, I've had some shows about that since then, not with Om, but this time Om's written a new book, and I want to have him back on, and I want to have him talk about the book. I actually edited the book, and it's fabulous. So I want to invite you to hear him again when we talk about the book. So that's what'll be up next. And in the meantime, before I sign off, I want to thank you all for listening, because if it wasn't for you, why would I do this? And you just make it so worthwhile. So I appreciate you and thank you for listening to Sex and Happiness over and over again. So this is Laurie Handler signing off for Sex and Happiness.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Laurie and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Oh,